This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting, September 12th, 2011.
Good evening, everybody. It's now 5:32 p.m. The second meeting of the GPSA for the fall 2001 semester is hereby called to order. We have a full agenda, so I'll try to keep things running on time. We'll begin with the introduction of the voting members. We'll start with Crystal, our newest voting member. That's it.
Okay.
Thanks, Crystal. Brian.
Hi, I'm Brian Offenmeyer. I'm a fifth-year student in the English department, and I'm a voting representative to the humanities.
My name is Evan Cortens. I'm a voting representative for the humanities and the president of the GPSA. Allison will be joining us as soon as she can.
I'm James Keith. I'm a second year student. I'm with the Bible Captain.
I'm Eric Smith. I'm second year entomology and I'm voting rep for the Bible.
Stephen Ott, fifth year computer science PhD, voting member for physical science and also communication shared.
YJ Chen, fifth year physics, voting number for physical sciences, also chair of the programming board.
I'm Carl Perkoff, fifth year Charlene PhD student and one of the physical sciences voting reps, and I'm going to be the treasurer in the graduate program.
I'm Jeff Grayler, I'm a third year student in chemistry and chemical biology, and I'm a voting representative for the physical.
I'm Pat Albert. I'm a voting member for social sciences, studying sociology field here. Also, one of the GPSA's two plus seven, so we have three representatives at the University Assembly. My favorite color is green.
My name is Nicole Barron. I'm a third year student in the psychology department, social science voting rep, and the executive vice president.
Marquise Hawkins, second year CEPA student, voting member in the social sciences and vice president of operations.
Rebecca Robbins, second year PhD student
in communication
and
social
sciences, voting
rep
and
chair of the Joseph
Kelly,
second year PhD student,
Randa, unfortunately, can't be here with us tonight. Michelle? And Michelle. At this time, I would also introduce our two student elected trustees, but they had another meeting to attend to. That would be Alex Nighthawk, Kent Hubble, our wonderful Dean of Students. One of our third UA representative is Sean Murphy. Sean can't join us tonight, I guess. And finally, if she's ready, I would like to introduce Brenda Wick. You can stand wherever suits you best.
I think I can speak from here. I really like this model of the United Nations setup. and graduate students are really in the United Nations. I'm the Dean for Graduate Student Life in the Graduate School. I am an unofficial advisor, opinionated guest of the GPSA, and also a resource for graduate professional students at Cornell. I work pretty closely with a number of the GPSA committees. I also do orientation, social programming, career services, and special accommodation students in crisis support. So I'm kind of busy. But this is the fun part of my job, getting to manage the GPSA and working with you guys to make a difference in the lives of graduate students at Cornell. It's a respected body, I guess, by administrators at Cornell. They definitely noted there are differences between the FA and the GPSA. enjoyed working with you as a group, but also with individuals, and certainly as representatives of your fields for partnership program at Cornell. If there's any individuals that you feel would benefit from talking to me about academic or life concerns, if you yourself would like to, or if there are some issues or concerns at a fields for partnership program level. My door is open. My email address is
Thank you very much, Brenda. Are there any questions for Brenda? No. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from August 29th. My sincere apologies that you only received these an hour ago. Totally my fault. I've received one correction to the minutes from Chris Heckman. He notes that on page 3, the final sentence should read, "To advise how this money should be spent, he encourages students to become engaged in the GPSA itself or to join his committee." Unless there is any objection, the correction is made. Are there any further corrections to the minutes? YJ. Unless there is any objection. So corrected. Are there any further corrections to the minutes? Seeing no further corrections, the minutes are hereby approved. Next on the agenda, reports of officers and standing committees. If I may, without stepping on the toes of my fellow executives, re-mention the things that they mentioned last week. Namely, we're about 50% staffed on field representatives, so that means we're about 50% vacant. If you know somebody who wants to be a field representative and their field is not yet represented, please get in contact with Nicole. If you're interested in the Ivy Summit, it is November 4th to 6th. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's at MIT in Boston, well, in Cambridge. Let me know if you're interested. I don't know what size our delegation is going to be yet, but just soliciting interest at this point. Finally, make sure to sign up for committees. You've gotten an email from Marquise. You've gotten an email from me. There's a page on the website. If you have questions, contact Marquise or myself. I wanted to note that, due again to an oversight that is my fault, there are a couple of committees that we staff as a condition of byline funding that aren't listed on the Assembly's website. Those two are the Slope Day Programming Board. We have a representative on their executive, and the Cornell Cinema Advisory Board. They're now on the website. If those interest you, again, speak to myself, Marquise. Finally, of course, we have three liaisons to the three other assemblies. Very important positions. The responsibility there is to attend their meetings. The Student Assembly meets every single week. Employee Assembly meets every other week. And the Faculty Assembly usually meets once a month, though sometimes they have follow-up meetings every other week. Again, if you're interested, GPSA-VP Operations. I'll turn the floor over now to Marquise for a moment.
All across the country, people have paused to recognize the lives lost and folks affected by the tragic events that occurred 10 years ago yesterday. And even here at Cornell, we paused yesterday as a university. But we should pause right now as a body to remember those folks who were greatly affected by those tragic events. And let's do that at this time. Thank you.
Next on the agenda, the update from the Appropriations Committee. Chris.
We prepared a budget to be presented tonight.
Thank you, Chris. Communications Committee. Steve.
Can I just take a quick poll about how many people found out that I was proceeding through Nicole's email? Just raise your hand. Okay, how many found out about the Facebook page? Fantastic. What about through the GTSA Live News Credit? All right, cool. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Steve. Finance Commission, Mia. Wonderful. Thank you, Mia. Student Advocacy, Rebecca.
Our first committee meeting is going to be on Thursday at 4:30, so mark your calendar if you're interested in anything relating to grad students, issues, health insurance, transportation. Thursday, 4:30, Big Red Barn.
And finally, the Programming Board, YJ.
Event announcement is Sunday, September 18th, 2 to 3 p.m. There's going to be a free art tour specifically for grad students at the Johnson Museum. Just show up. It'll be fun. Another announcement is I'm planning to have our first official meeting of the Programming Board next week. So if you are interested in having fun with very intelligent people, please apply on the assembly webpage or email me so that I know you're interested. Thank you.
Thank you, YJ. We move now into our unfinished business. You'll recall, those of you that were here 2 weeks ago, that we elected one master's seat. There's still a second master's seat. Our charter states that at least one of the master's degree seats shall be from an engineering field. If, by the third regularly scheduled meeting, this is the second meeting, no eligible candidate from an engineering field has been nominated for the engineering seat, the seat shall be open to any student enrolled in any master's degree program administered by the graduate school. So tonight, we will again call for nominations. Just so you know the procedure, there are no nominations. I already told you what happens. We'll do one further call next meeting. And then if there are still no nominations for engineering students, any master's student is eligible. If there's only one nominee tonight, they may make a brief speech if they wish, and then we'll vote by voice. If there's more than one nominee, each nominee, again, will have a chance to speak, and all of those holding placards, either green or blue, will be distributed a ballot to vote. Question?
On September 29th, if no master's student is selected from engineering, will the vote be held that day, please?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If there are no nominees from any master's program, then I'll call for nominees from any engineering program, then I will call for nominees from any master's program. If there are no nominees from any master's program, the seat remains vacant. It can't be filled by someone in a non-master's program. Sorry for confusing you with that 2 weeks ago. My fault. Unless there are any further questions, are there any nominations for the... Hold on. Somewhere around here, I've got a sheet of paper. Aha. Nominations are now in order for the position of voting member from a master's degree program in engineering. Are there any nominations? You may nominate anybody in the room, or you may nominate yourself. Yes?
I'm a master's in systems engineering. As a field representative, am I allowed to nominate myself for this position?
Yes.
And then allocate my position to someone else in my program that wanted this position?
Yes, you are. Sorry.
You
hold
mean
on,
you
Nicole?
Can make your field rep. You can have someone else be the field representative once you become a voter.
Yes. Yeah. The position of field rep will then become vacant. Our charter says that we can simply fill that again. However, for the purposes of field funding, it doesn't need to be filled. You being a voting member satisfies that requirement. Chris.
Point of information, are you an MN student or are you a master's, like an MS student?
I'm an MN. Is that full
time?
Okay. Point of information.
Yep.
Our charter just says from an engineering program. It doesn't say.
I was MN before, but the charter will not be.
It just says from an engineering field.
Perfect.
Okay. Anyway, moot point. Thank you. May you please introduce yourself?
My name is Josh Wilson. I'm a master's in systems engineering.
Hold on a second. Just let me get that down. If it would let me type. John. John C. That's enough for now, but I'll call for more nominations and then speak after nominations are closed. Are there any further nominations for the position of voting member from a master's degree program in engineering? Final call. Any further nominations for the position of voting member from a master's degree program in engineering? Seeing no further nominations, nominations are hereby closed. John, you may now speak for up to a minute if you wish.
I'm a mechanical engineer and undergrad from the University of Illinois. My fiance is in the program of real estate development here, and I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you, John. Since there are no further nominees, since John is the sole nominee for the position of voting member from a master's degree program in engineering, we can vote simply by voice. All those in favor of electing John, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes have it. John, you are hereby elected. Congratulations. On to new business. We have three resolutions on the docket tonight. A resolution amending and approving the bylaws, a resolution approving the internal budget, and the initial presentation of amendments to the byline funding procedure. A quick note that we will not be voting on Resolution 3 tonight. It needs to be presented first without a vote. We'll vote next week on the 29th. Since we haven't done this before, just a quick overview of how this process works. After the chair has stated the motion or the resolution, which in this case simply means putting it up on the PowerPoint, if a motion were to arise from the floor, then the chair would have to state it back. The sponsor of the resolution is recognized to speak first. Thereafter, members may speak for up to 60 seconds. They may not speak twice until everybody else who wishes to speak has had a chance. These limits are relaxed with a motion to consider informally. Simple majority approval for that. Amendments are in order. If we want to close debate before the time has expired, there is a motion to call previous question. That requires a two-thirds majority or unanimous consent. When the time for debate has expired, in order to debate further, we would need a motion to extend the limits of debate, and that also requires a two-thirds majority. Questions about debate? Seeing none. After debate has been closed, chair states the motion again or puts it up on the projector. Those in favor, raise your placards. Those are the green ones. Those opposed, again. A majority is more than half of votes cast. Two-thirds, more than two-thirds of votes cast. The important thing here to note is it's of votes cast, not of people present or of the membership. There are some exceptions to that, like charter amendments and things, but for the majority of what we deal with, it's simply votes cast. Provided we have a quorum, which is a majority, that means 10, all that it takes is a majority of votes cast. So say we've got 10 people in the room, two people vote yes, one person votes no, the other seven don't vote at all, the motion passes.
Point of information.
Yes.
Does not voting mean abstaining?
Yes. And you don't count against the total. I'm going to experiment with not calling for abstentions, because by not voting, you're abstaining. If you're here and you don't raise your placard for yes or no, that's just an abstention. There's no greater significance. Great. Further questions about voting? Wonderful. Sorry to those of you seated behind me. Oh, hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Great. This worked when I tried it before, so let's cross our fingers. View full screen.
Mm.
I've taken the liberty of numbering some lines to make it even more confusing. I know this looks complicated. Hold on a second. The chair now recognizes himself to speak on the resolution because I'm the sponsor of this resolution, without compromising my impartiality, hopefully. This is a fairly routine sort of thing. We do it every year. We have to approve our bylaws. At this time, we usually take the opportunity to make some minor changes. Calls went out especially to the committee chairs to give them a chance to submit any changes to how they wanted their procedures to work. It's the bylaws that specify all the things that our committees have to do. I didn't hear anything back, so I assume that means everybody's okay with it, basically. These then, therefore, are some pretty straightforward, simple things. I fixed some subject verb agreement in point two here. GPSA was spelled wrong. I replaced the comma with a period. A number of sections were off by one. That was because 3.01 was inserted, so I just simply fixed that. There were two conflicting pieces of information in about when budgets were due to the appropriations chair. Everything else said second regularly scheduled meeting except 305G2, so that's fixed. This says that the commission may appoint, the finance commission may appoint additional people to help out in April. I didn't think it made any sense to have a whole group of people appointing, just the chairperson appoints. There's no substantive change there. This is just a clarification. It says that UA members become ex officio members. Of course, in our case, we had Kyle already, who was already a voting member. Kyle is not stripped of his voting member status. This is just a point of clarification. I changed an and to an or. That should be additional. This was just a point of clarification. This allows us, if we so choose, to send out the agendas more than 24 hours in advance, which we were doing anyway. And perhaps the only substantive change, which I think was simply an oversight the last time around, was that I believe the intention was that professional schools also have these so-called division summits, not just the four divisions of the graduate school. So that's clarified in the language. I hereby give up the floor. Is there anybody who wishes to speak in formal debate, either in support of or against the resolution? Nobody raised their hand back there. I've bombarded you all into silence. Excellent. Excellent. Chris?
So the point at the bottom of this, you may please scroll down. Okay, that's right there. Line 29 and 30. So are you meaning by this bylaw change that each professional school will have its own summit? Or are you meaning that professional schools and the unit, even though they're multiple different professional schools, have a summit jointly?
I meant, and I'm open to amendments if you or especially if anybody from the professional schools wants to change this, I meant as a group, all together. The same way that people from classics and English and art, architecture and planning and music get together, the three different professional schools would get together. This would be a group of the three voting members plus the nine non-voting members. So it's not, I think, an unmanageably large number of people. Anybody else wish to speak in debate, offer amendments? Seeing none, debate is closed. The question is on adoption of the resolution approving the GPSA bylaws and making some minor technical amendments. Those in favor, please raise your green placard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Sorry, 15. Those opposed? with 15 in favor and 0 opposed. The resolution is hereby adopted. Perhaps to something a little more interesting. Resolution 2, which is the approval of the GPSA internal budget. Of course, as you can see, the resolution text is boilerplate. What really matters is that spreadsheet. It mostly fits on the screen here. I believe there are a few extra copies as well. This time I will recognize Chris Heckman to speak on the resolution.
Good evening. So, I am the chair of the Appropriations Committee. That means I'm also the treasurer of the GPSA. And over the past week, I've been preparing a budget for how we will spend the money that comes out of the activity that we have provided for this month. And each committee has submitted to me a requested amount of funds. They may be found in this column. I know that this was sent out earlier with an email that hopefully many of you got, but I only have 2 extra copies, multiple pages, so that's actually enough for everybody. However, you'll see that there's a lot of money that's been requested. For instance, the next committee has requested $7,700. My committee has requested $250 between food and printing and handout. Above that is $500 requested from the communications committee, partially offset off the website. The orientation, the man orientation, or a boot at orientation to publicize the GPSA is, and that costs money to print out the handouts and everything. Basically, everything asks us to improve in their meetings, etc. So, if you can scroll down to 7. At the bottom, right here, we have what the total amount is that was requested for the committee, with over $18,000 for all the committees, and also to provide for the DPAs. However, we only have a gross revenue of $16,800. So at that point, I need to start shopping. And that is what I've done to some extent. So traditionally, my committee provides 2 recommendations. The first recommendation is if we would like to put forward $1,000 for the surplus. That surplus is currently at $11,000 that sits in the bank and waits for something bad to happen with GPSA. It's like, oh no, we're not getting money this year, or we still need to support our operations, or we want to support a special project or something, we can draw on this to save. However, I would say that when our operating budget is at around $18,000 and we have $11,000 savings, that's a fairly good savings. We should probably stop contributing to that. And in this column, I'm giving what the recommended allowance is, not providing any additional savings going forward. So we'll still keep the $11,000 savings and not drop on that. However, we will not be contributing to the savings account. So the resolution text says that I'm supporting $16,800 every dime that we're getting from the graduate students this year to be allocated to the committee from that. So I will go down and basically line by line explain why I've done the recommendations I've made. I'm sorry if that's tiresome. However, committees have asked for money, and I'm telling them they're not getting as much money as they've asked for, so I feel like I at least know that. So if you could please go to the top. So the communications committee has asked for $500. The recommended allocation I provide is $500. The reason why this is, primarily because all their budget items cannot really be cut back on. The new graduate professional student orientation has historically cost about $200, and every dime that we take away from that means that that's one less brochure that we can print out and give the graduate students. If they would like to make brochures to the tune of $250, then I feel that that's fair. Also, the website, $130, that's flat cost. Shipping and miscellaneous costs, well, sometimes they have problems that we have to pay for, so we have to be there. And then food, $9, that's actually considered the less than most other committees ask for. I do recognize you at this time.
Thank you very much. I just want to say that the orientation, actually very little of that is for the printing materials, especially since we print out black and white. Most of that is for the coffee and the maples that you can buy at the tables, which I think was highly successful this year because we had a huge line coming out of the tables. So I want to continue that tradition for the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate the committee's forethought in making that. Yes,
Sorry, just a question in process. So if you didn't request just say $500 in, by how did you end up with this company?
They have requested $500 in a sheet that I gave them, basically the template that said, I need every item that you want and justification for why you want it, and then at the bottom of the total. So I mean, after we give them $500, they can move that $500 around to whatever what they want. They could, for instance, stop doing the new GPS orientation. However, that's probably not going to happen because they find that that's effective. So, I'm not enforcing these budget line items, but I'm looking at those as a good guy.
Wonder if I might ask that we hold further questions until Chris has a chance to finish his presentation. Is that okay?
Perfectly fine. Okay. So I'm going to go quickly. My committee is asking for $250. The meetings that we have visitors at them, which are the groups that are asking for money. We want to be able to have a happy conversation with them, so that means that we're going to provide them some food for them and us, and we need to extensively discuss this semester. Also, all these budgets, like handouts, which are going to be staying a lot of this semester, cost money to print, so $50 for printing is kind of a low volume. Okay, so I requested $250 and I gave my fee. operators and staff have requested no money, so there's not going to be food at those meetings, so you know that you don't have to show up to those meetings. So. Alright, no. Okay, pull it right now. Okay, event committee. This was the most extensive budget request that I ever got, and primarily because the event committee puts on a lot of events, which we love them for, and thank you for doing that. They requested $7,700, which is the second most next to the executive committee, but the executive committee provides food in every one of our meetings. So you'll see a listing of the things that they're planning on doing this year. For instance, for at all costs, they're upwards of $4,300. The Women Only Spa Day, which I'm assuming men are invited to. Yes,
men are invited to, typo.
I operate on that. Okay, coffee hours for this quarter would be over $1,200, and the list goes on for many events. Two wellness events, something like formal education, cooking workshops, student-only, Frank, student-only wine tour, professional students included, Johnson Museum art tour, monthly drive night out, which are free, Halloween zombie pub crawl, which is free. So what they're saying is they put on many events that are that cost us no money, and we should thank them for that. Okay, so using the drug free. So other things that do cost money, Fred's ski day, which we subsidize ticket costs if Fred refuses to join. Ice skating, we pay for the drink rental, which over $250, I believe. I think it's $280 for an hour. And then bowling, which is free, but then there's info session, food day, held an info session, explain what their food does. And then also food at their own meetings, of course, which is the fee, right? Okay, so they requested $7,700. Regrettably, we can't give them that much money. So, because, you know, just budget cap. So, $7,000 is how much I recommended to them. The reason why I made this recommendation is because we can come back at some of these pieces, some of these events. Grad Ball, we heavily subsidize, this is obvious. Almost $4,400 goes to it. And that can be remunerated by increasing ticket costs, which is not popular for people that go to Grad Ball, but Grad Ball is a discount as it is. I mean, it's like $15 per ticket, and if we make it $70 per ticket, that would easily recover the cost. And other many places, you know, for instance, we do some of these events with another group, so we can work out how much money they provide and use them. So that's why my recommendation stands at $700 less than their request. Executive committee, you can scroll up this. Thank you. Okay, so executive committee, much of this money again not be moved around that much. The assembly meeting food is at $3,000, so that's how much it costs to get all of the assembly students. And then postage, which they need to do, area summit funding, which is something new this year, cost extra $375. A lot of these things are sort of non-discretionary. There are a couple items that I need to touch on, and I don't want to bore you, so I'm going to try to agree. There's this ID Summit discretionary fund thing, which means how much it costs to send us as delegates to the ID Summit. That is different than the next line, which says savings for next ID Summit. That is to say, every few years, like once every 9 years or something, we put on an IT summit here at Cornell. And that costs us a boatload of money. And we can't just make that 1 year. We can't do that unless we save for it in previous years. So that's why we're putting this $1,000 thing in there. That's different than the $1,000 savings that I recently cited and that we're not, that I would recommend we not adopt in the budget. So I want to field questions on this. So if you have a question about this budget item, remember it for after I'm talking to you. Okay. The second item is with NADES membership fees. So on our website it says we are a member government of the NADES, the National Association for Graduate Professional Students. Is that correct? Okay, thank you, Evan. So we're not a member of the NADES. It costs $500 and you've never paid that membership fee. But it's on our website, right? So, and this has come up perennially as something we want to join NADES, we not want to. So I'm just putting, the executive committee requested it, and I agreed to put it on here saying, we want to do NADES, we might as well just snap it on the budget, and then if we want to debate it, we can do it here, but we do have an effective conversation about it. At the same time, they requested $8,635, and I put down $8,100, which is about $500 less. So if we choose not to do any ETF membership dues, then they would be right in the budget. However, if you look at last year, they used $7,085. In this column, it says 2010, 2011 used $7,085. And we're recommending that they get $8,100. That's more than they used last year. So we still think that we can fund the membership to the NADES. Okay. So this is getting, hopefully this is getting too mixed up. Okay, so going right along to the finance commission. Good to pull up to a little bit. Thank you. So the finance commission, the EO committee, requested $740, and they requested a lot of money for food. However, last year they only used $510 for food, and so I thought $740 was a little bit too high. So I had to bring that number down in order to get us within constraints to budget, and that number is now $650, still $150 more than last year. Anyone who's been to Funding Day, you know, you get treated like kings and you get two meals there, and, you know, I feel like that can probably come back as a winner. Okay, next committee to advocacy. They requested $300. $100 for food and meals is pretty acceptable, I feel. And then their community forum, bringing in people. You need to give people food if you want them to come to your meeting. They requested $200. So my recommendation stands at $300. So notice I'm completely glossing over this $1,000 surplus column because I don't want us to adopt that. So please don't debate the $1,000 surplus column. But I put it there for your investigation in case you think that my recommendation is crap. And we need to go to the $1,000 surplus. Okay, so I think that's it, and I'd be happy to go to questions.
So at this time, we're in formal debate. Motions to make amendments are in order. So say, for instance, you wanted not to follow Chris's advice and adopt that surplus, that would take a motion to amend. Or if you don't like the other allocations, again, that's a motion to amend. Informal debate. Everyone can speak for up to 60 seconds. Nobody can speak twice until somebody else has spoken. Comments should be directed to the chair, these sorts of things. So the chair will entertain either short speeches or a motion to consider informal. Joe. Since that contained questions for Chris, I'd recognize Chris if he has a response.
Yeah, these just contained my formal debate reaction to that, right? Okay.
So thank you for your comments. I appreciate them. First of all, the items that were in this that are itemized are the ones that seem seriously deviated. So I did put a few items in there. For instance, I used some discretionary. We had budgeted Preston and I took those Princeton and Ball Out of Control, with a $1,500 budget, and we raised by $390, basically eating a diamond, and cooking our own food. So that's just, you know, I did try to put some of those things in, but that's a good recommendation for next year. I appreciate that. Second thing, it is also a great point that you could look at the percentage of how much we're spending on food, but I don't feel like from this, if history is any guide, we've been buying too much food. And we've been usually trying to be parsimonious about where we purchase our food. And we have limited options based on where we go to, you know, sort of vending contracts. So I appreciate both those comments. The first one is a good thing for next year. The second, I feel like we're right on target.
Marquis.
Does the 11-5 in rollover savings act essentially as a rainy day fund, or is it just not for us to touch at all?
Okay, so this funding is a number that is apparently on file with some business office at J-Paul that says this is how much money is in your account. And even then, I'm not getting concrete information. I haven't really asked the right questions yet, so this is my fault. About whether we can use this money or not. My feeling about it, though, is that we are putting forward $1,000 a year for ID Summit in 2018, and that I imagine that discretionary fund that we're taking forward is part of it. Maybe if you have anything that you know about it. Yeah, it's pretty great, but.
I think it might be $2,000 of that is for the next Ivy Summit, so the other $9,500 is just extra money from the past 17 years.
And so as the person that prepared your budget, it is not in my place to tell you how to spend your money. So if you choose to spend money from this, then we'll start talking about that, but it's not my recommendation to do that, and how you choose to do it in that, if that event comes, is completely up to you.
Any further comments in Carl?
I had a quick question about the role. You know, does that include any undisclosed money from the Climate Commission as well? Or is that a separate?
That is a completely separate file. Yeah. Thank you for that comment. So we asked the question of the Finance Commission, we as committee, give that money to clubs, and that money is given directly to clubs so they can have events and give food at their events and everything like that. So that is a completely separate budget that is not contained in any of this. So your clubs are not being affected. Any other clubs or members of are not being affected by this fabulous that's happening.
YJ?
I had a question about the historical figures for the events committee. We did that from what my impression was, given the record documents. I was wondering if there were the 2010 to 2011 allocated in the year. It differed rather dramatically from my impression from budgeting.
Nicole?
Sorry. As the former events committee chair, I kept a record of what was actually sent specifically through the events committee, and that does differ pretty drastically.
How much money did you spend in the fall?
From Nicole's document, $6,631.
Okay.
What was due?
All right. So it may have been any number of things, and a little bit scary, but for instance, it could have been this grab ball as a separate line item on them. So I was using, on these previous allocations, or previous use numbers, I was using a spreadsheet that came from that business office, and they didn't always categorize things under the same line item, and so I might have missed, like, the grab ball line item. It sounds like I probably did. So it doesn't sound like, I don't think that anything else is dramatically.
Yeah, Kenny?
What happens if you
it goes into the rollover savings. Yeah, the pile of $11,000.
So it's a general follow-up question. If we want to say, are we allowed to remain in the city with that money? If you want to say that to the full time, we have money to close that, and they can use that money.
You may propose this, but it may be invalid from an accounting standpoint. As I said, I don't know what our rights are as an organization to tap those funds, but if we want to consider that, then I can start asking questions to people that might know.
Further comments? Formal debate? James?
Clarification for the
yes. I'm glad that you're asking this question. So this is roughly the subject that should be joined in a GPS and what does that entail? Yes, it is annual fees. You're paying $500 annually. And I am not the best person to say to support this NAGPS membership because I don't know all of what it entails. So I might throw a point of information over to Evan at some point. But I know that for instance they lobby for graduate student funding and sort of support of graduate schools across the country in Washington annually. They have a summit that meets and I think that we actually go there aren't that huge. They do all these many things that we already benefit from. It's sort of like how a union acts, except they can't enforce membership in these unions because we're in a body. The idea that the support is that you can continue going to, or that you can start going to these summits if we choose to. It doesn't sound like a bad thing, and it's $500, so it's certainly not trivial. But in the grand scheme of the rest of the budget, I feel like it's probably worth it.
I may remark that if we choose to strike that, then we should also update our website to not say that we're a member. Rebecca?
Just a question. We had a question in the mental health focus group last year. They do offer several offerings specifically targeted to mental health and wellness. And I actually found a lot of the resources here. There's only been a couple of longer ones. That's a great question. Because it's about most resources, and many of them actually are available to you if you're not a member. So just to kind of pick that up.
So yeah, I'm pulling up a bit of a political fact on not putting this in there because I was saying we're joining it here because of my items.
If I may offer a point of clarification, what typically happens in the past is that the chair says, so what does everybody think about the NAGPS? And everybody goes, oh, well, I don't really know what that is. And then it just gets dropped. It was my opinion, while maintaining neutrality as chair, I put together the budget request that we should explicitly have a discussion about this. If someone wishes to offer an amendment striking it, that is in order at this time. And I'm constrained by neutrality for speaking in favor or against such a thing. Yes, sir.
I will argue against it.
Argue against an amendment striking.
Yeah,
yes. Thank you. Are there further comments in formal debate?
Can you explain more in detail about the merits of joining, for the organization?
So,
aside from just going through.
So that is the only thing that I understand it, that paying that $500 allows us to do, because the resources that NAGPS provides are outside of, they're available to everybody. They're on external links, etc. So the idea is that NAGPS, so in terms of the extra raises, and I'll be from the start. But I think that the more important thing about NAGPS is similar to our involvement in the ID Summit. We pay a lot of money every year to go to be a part of ID Summit. Right? It's $1,000 a year that we save towards ID Summit, and it costs nothing beyond that, but it still costs us $10,000 over the course of 9 years. So
the idea behind it is that, well, at least this one, we're going to be talking with a broader range of graduate schools. Many of them are going to be peers with us. MIT is the one that started this program. And I believe Harvard and Princeton are also part of it. And I'm not sure about the other IBs, but I know that at least some public schools that are about our size and prestige are also members. So we're just expanding our network of people that we can talk to about these things. And having been a member of this body that went to the IU Summit, I feel that that is extremely valuable. Being able to talk to other people about new ideas that they're having, that's easily worth $500 a year. And so, that means that this body does not stay enshrined in its own, squabbles that we've been talking about every year, or even worse, decay in the mother machine. We're bringing in new ideas, and then we're going to create something that Cornell students can then, act on. So I feel like it's really good.
Steve.
There's only one meeting a year, and yes, it would in theory and probably in practice too. But the idea is that, as I showed right here, it's not an extensive budget. I can just send someone somewhere. Of course, these meetings are usually somewhere close to New England. If we were only to send one person to the Midwest or something, it might cost $600 or something like that, or even more, depending on how much how much it costs that kind of thing. But, so yes, but we have the money for it, and not only that, this is another, there's another line from here. So that means if we are saying we are providing new service to the graduate and professional student community, then that is typically what's favorably drawn by the appropriations committee when making recommendations for how much money is given.
If I may offer a brief remark, this is this year's conference. It's at the end of October in Boulder, Colorado. There are no, at least to my knowledge, plans underway to attend this conference. This is a sort of one step at a time. Let's become a member first. It's a point of clarification. Anybody can go to the conference, but you don't get to vote, voting representation, unless you're actually a member. This is a discussion we can and should have should we decide to join the NAGPS.
This is not a decision to join or not to join by approving the budget. It's simply putting aside the money in the event that we decide to join, that it will be there. So while I'm arguing that we should join the NAGPS, I'm more doing it in the means and not modifying the budget item and keeping the option open such that later we can join. That's a terrible.
Yevgeny?
This is the time I checked the membership for the different universities that are members. We don't have one of them right now.
It's on our website, not there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the.
Do you have?
I'm the one of the $20 an hour I need to talk to the membership.
Do you know where that is? That
our membership?
Current members? That over here?
Our membership,
current members, second bullet.
We scroll down.
Scroll down. Let the record show that Cornell University is not listed.
Okay, so I think that if that's all on the NHTS item, I would encourage anyone to ask other questions about the budget.
Committee chairs, also, if you want to speak about your requests, that is, of course, in order at this time. Yes, Michelle?
Not a committee question, but would it be possible to just make a line item for target savings for the IB Summit so that in future years it gets closer?
It's already there.
Oh, it is?
Yes, highlighted currently.
Oh, sorry, Nick.
This is one of the more complicated.
Oh, sorry, no, I think cumulative in the savings account. Sorry. And then of the $11,000, what we were hoping, if it's 2 years, to the next, I believe, you know, it'll be somewhere around $7,000, so it'll be a much bigger chunk of our savings.
I think that's a question maybe for Amy. Is that something that we can talk about? A way to maybe make that easier, perhaps a separate account for those savings? Excellent. Are there any further questions or points in from the bank?
Are not many members allowed to ask questions?
Yes.
Okay. So I would like to raise a comment about the fund used for assembly food. To me, it's quite, you know, quite a large amount of the total amount of money. I'm curious, I mean, how many other people in the group feel the same way? Or I don't even know how to discuss this topic. So maybe discuss.
If I may, because I'm the one who put the request together, basically what I did was I summed up all of the food from last year's request, because when I was putting that request together, I didn't have this number. I just had the request. So I took the food from discussion meetings and from business meetings and the executives' own meetings. We said we will forgo food so that we make sure to have a budget that is, if anything, too large for the amount of food that we need, because we didn't know for sure, given the changed meeting structure, what sort of attendance we'd be looking at. I saw a hand over here. Julian. Oh, a motion to move to consider informally. Is there a second? Second from Joe. Sorry, I mean from the voting member. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, we're now in informal consideration. Is there anybody who wishes to speak informally? Which we've basically been doing already. Julian, sorry, did you want to speak?
Yeah, I think on the food discussion, the informal discussion is probably a better idea. The people who are sitting here have dedicated registrants who are working for keeping things running. And I think running through these meetings and for the green meetings, it's just a token of appreciation for the effort they put in. Some people put in 20 to 40 hours a month, which is a perfect lot, and I appreciate the work that they do, and I think it's perfectly fine that we put some amount of money to provide food for those meetings.
I just want to add, on the budget, we put that together to actually have a few events every semester that target specific issues. So it's not for my thing personally, I mean the members of the committee of students have this thing, but instead to solicit members from the community to come and maybe even on a lot about transportation issues or mental health.
For the comments and informal debate. John, your inaugural comment.
Yes, we are putting our money in that group. Can we do it strategically in terms of very basic to thinking of really ways to work with someone, like a veteran, to make sure we're getting healthy food, and whether we're using those resources? We can use them enough, but can we use them smarter?
Good point. Further comments in informal debate? Chris.
So this is stepping outside my role kind of logistics, but usually, as we all know, more healthy food would cost us more money. Like a really nice salad or something for, let's say, people that we use to it's full doing a food test. It's unfortunate that it is that way, but we have to make this trade-off between we want people to come to the meetings, which means that we would buy some food and need to cover our income, but we don't want to be spending $28,000 a year, of which half of that.
Thank you, Chris.
We need to get into more transparency in how East Coast staff can give them all the money for food, but we don't want to move this serious thing. Is there a way to say how many meetings do they have some kind of way of rubric about how much money is being spent based on actual data, who tends to be meeting and how many meetings they have, for example, about this much? Given that the guy
defined
before that was higher, simply enough, a lot of market leaders are asking for now, and it seems that the shifting kind of equal amongst the
So on the point of just the charter question, basically, committees are required by charter to meet at least monthly, once a month. Membership attendance is required by all members of the committee. The membership is determined by option staffing. There's, strictly speaking, no limit. There could theoretically be 30 people on the events committee. There aren't typically. I'd say it's typically in the range of 5-ish people. Chris?
So the reason why I think these budgets are usually prepared by looking at previous budgets and also by members that have been around for a little bit is because we don't have those sorts of direct one-to-one correlations between, well, this is a committee, this is the kind of work it does, and every meeting may affect these people, and that means that you multiply that by this factor. And it would be wonderful to me from a numbers perspective. I would love it if we could have something like that, but this is a fairly anecdotal process. And I don't mean to portray anything else in any other way than that. So, I've served on some of these committees, and I know the other committees work, and I know where they can sort of give and take and who. But for instance, the SC funding for food, $509, might sound outrageous, but the SC has people that are next to it asking for money at their meetings. They have to meet quite often, and their meetings sometimes take a long time. And not only that, but they have an extra funding day where it's basically Lollapalooza. Like, everyone just comes down, and then, if you're a member of this group, then you start making decisions on whether somebody gets approved this funding or not, based on a group or report. But, it's 5 or 6 hours for sitting there. So, it is anecdotal, but it is what it is.
Further points in informal debate? Joe?
It's two quick points. I think that, $3,000 really jumps out. You usually have to pay between 20 and a year. Only for that amount of money that you got when you think about, you're actually paying pretty good for the budget to come out naturally to be here. But the other thing is, we have to have a four large contract opportunity. For example, we need to be able to work with the area where we might be paying any money that we need.
Amy is the one who usually orders the food. Amy, do you have any thoughts about that? I sort of threw some numbers in there. We have 14 meetings a year. That's about $220 per meeting. About 40 people attend a meeting. I don't know, 40, 50, about $5 a person. Joe? Food for thought. Chris?
So I think that it's tough because we have to use this, basically the system to buy food. So it's correct that we have to go through a website or something like this and what's called a direct vendor or something. Okay, oh, I see. So in any case, but usually the media discounts that would add to the accounting nightmare that it's getting to use. It's certainly possible if you look at something like that, but for simplicity, that isn't actually that big of a purchase, something like that. University really makes purchases of $3,000. So, kind of means really tough.
If I may quickly throw in again from the perspective of the person who put that number in there, it's probably too high. I'd rather it be too high than not high enough and find ourselves not able to order food for all of March and April. I have every confidence that Amy does the best she can in ordering good food as cheaply as possible. Could money be saved? Maybe. I mean, what if we brought it down to $200 a meeting? The amount that we'd save would be pretty small. Yep, Dan.
We already heavily rely on support from the vet school, and when we just hear that the Grapevine and other graduate student associations put on our events. So cutting down from this budget would mean to either eliminate some of these events or actually mean even poorer to these other associations, because that's what we usually do to fund the events. Because running, as you've seen, ordering pizza for 30 people is $200. So running these events line by line, the items you see on the sheet, does not cost the amount of money that says. It's usually maybe 3 times at least, or 2 times at least, I guess, the amount that it's on there. So we need support from other organizations, and I guess $700 you have to make up somehow, either by slashing the events that cost money or looking for other associations. But I accept Chris's recommendation because I understand we have a limited budget, and also we have the freedom to play around with what we put on at this point.
I have a problem with me.
Chris?
Do you have last year's budget and how much you spent?
So that's the number I should use.
Oh,
yeah, that it was.
So we're still going to use $270
more than that. I guess I'm positioning myself as we are holding more.
And you want to expand?
We're doing expand programming in preparation for doubling our budget with filing funding next year, hopefully, if it gets approved. So next year we will be directly funded by byline funding, and this is projected to double our budget. And so in preparation for holding more events, we want to gear up this year to do that. And that's why I increased the budget request by this much. I don't have specifically, you might have historical Facebook invites.
Which are notoriously unreliable.
Typically, for the more popular events, between 100 and 200 people attend, like that night out, the interschool mixers probably had around that number. The last bowl events were around 30 to 50 people. And the grad ball is usually 500. So that would be subsidizing
We also did have a Iron Chef competition last year that was really successful in my opinion, and there were 20 teams of two students. Plus supporters and watchers and eaters. And actually it was pretty incredible when we built the space that we had. That was even a small event. The cooking workshop was a new idea.
Yeah. So most of that money actually, my plan for that is to use most of the money above to spend on the honorarium for whoever we invite to lead the cooking workshop, and then the participants would have to put the cost of supplies, etc., and maybe part of the honorarium for whoever is teaching the workshop.
And can I just make one point? So the events, the programming board's budget is historically very small. If you think about the amount of programming provided for all 6,800 something grad students here at Cornell, $7,000 is nothing. And the programming board is technically the only organization on campus providing events for all grad students to get together. And so we do as best we can, and have done in the past, as best we can on a really tiny budget. In a lot of cases, actually, grad students are paying for their own food, drink, etc., even when we organize events put together, which people in the professional schools or programs that are more well-funded may find surprising, but that's the funding that we have to work with. So
a brief follow-up on that, maintaining neutrality as chair. We fund Slope Day at about $3 per graduate student. This budget request is about $1 per graduate student. So that's $1 per graduate student for the only organization that does graduate and professional student programming, and they do it all year, versus three times that amount for one event, one day. Sorry, I'm maintaining neutrality. Man, I'm bad at this. At this time, we're basically out of time for informal debate. We need a little bit of time to vote. Plus, we've got some other stuff on the agenda, which means that unless there is a motion to extend debate, seeing no such motion, it's now time for a vote. The question is on the adoption of Resolution 2, a resolution approving the GPSA internal budget for the 2011-2012 term. Resolve that the GPSA adopts the recommended allocation in the attached budget spreadsheet. That is column D, $16,805, matching. Well, minus $5. Chris will pay for that. Oh, whoops. Motion to replace the chair.
Also, with column D, it won't matter, but with column D, 48, you added that too.
Fixed. So the question is on the adoption of the resolution approving the recommended allocation. Those in favor, please raise your green placard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Those opposed? 0. With 16 in favor and 0 opposed, the internal budget is adopted. Thank you. Next on the agenda, a simple presentation of amendments to the byline funding procedure. Let's see if I can. So there are. I now recognize myself to speak on the resolution. Chris is co-sponsoring. This is motivated, as the whereas clauses say, by some changes that were made in our charter and bylaws last May. The final version was made last May. This was an ongoing year-long process. The biggest change there, as far as we're concerned here, is the change from an alternation of business and discussion meetings to just meetings. This introduced some ambiguities in these two documents, which specify the various things that have to happen at discussion meetings and business meetings. This language is very straightforwardly just simply a clarification of those ambiguities. Chris and I, if I dare speak on Chris's behalf, would prefer not to get into a detailed debate at this time over particular points of the procedures or byline funding criteria. The time and the place for that is certainly the spring semester. At this point, groups have already submitted their requests. The deadline was last Friday. To change things up dramatically would, I think, throw a wrench in the works, to use a colloquial expression. So this is, like I say, the bare minimum number of changes. As you can see, it's mostly just strike GPSA discussion meetings, replace it with regular GPSA meetings. Pretty straightforward. Also, someone spelled GPSA wrong again. So I fixed that. Perhaps the only substantive change is that, is this particular one, it says at the second to last scheduled GPSA business meeting, which is the equivalent of the fourth meeting. Chris and I felt, and looking at this year's schedule, that fifth actually made more sense. Fifth is already a very aggressive timeline. It actually, I think, is what we did in 2009, contravening our own guidelines. To get everything done by the fourth meeting is, I won't say impossible, but would force people, hardworking people, to work even harder and even more than they already are. So fifth makes sense. Fifth, by the way, means that we vote at the sixth meeting and still have a seventh meeting if for whatever reason we should find ourselves going on, and that's our plan for this semester. We're now in formal debate on Resolution 3. Are there any comments? Again, we won't be voting on this, but I guess amendments are in order, though I prefer that you... Sorry, I'm neutral. Comments? Formal debate.
I'll come out in agreement for this. This is necessary for the process to actually happen. If these changes are not made, then we will be doing it completely by the seat of our pants. So if anybody has questions about these exact changes, then we would be happy to talk about them. And I'll speak on another issue, is that many of you know that we've been talking about funding a lot. Things are gearing up to be a very exciting funding year. And if this was boring, then things get better. we talk about why we spend so much we do in the activity fee, and this is all speaking to that issue. And so in later meetings, we'll be talking about it. So I hope people keep coming and stay involved in that process.
Thank you. Perhaps one further point, if I may. This isn't being done at the last minute or anything. This is, quite frankly, basically as soon as it could be done. Basically the first conduct of business after the adoption of the charter changes that necessitated this resolution. Unless there are further comments, the actual debate and voting on this resolution, which I hope we can do very quickly, will take place next week, the 29th. Next meeting, September 29th, 2 weeks from today.
Point of clarification.
Nicole.
It's actually the 26th.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that means my next slide is wrong. Sorry. Man. You can dock my pay. That would be acceptable. You can have my pay. So that's the last item of business on the agenda. We are now in open forum. It is 6:50 p.m. Are there any... I know there are a couple of people at the back who want to speak. Are there any points for open forum? Yes?
This is my apartment. Some people are concerned about how money is being spent in the CSA and looking at the budget. If we could somehow have some documentation to get out to more residents so I can bring that to people who haven't had that right thing, like what the benefits of doing this national organization would actually be for them, not just us who have to go to the meetings. And then, how's the Ivy Summit benefiting the gratitude and actual benefits? So, it would be nice if we spend a lot of money on this, especially the Ivy Summit, and to really know how benefiting like, the average resident is.
I'm happy to speak to you after. I would say that graduate students, I feel strongly about this, probably others do in this room, graduate students are benefited by having a functional and effective graduate student government. I think that in addition to the wonderful events that we do and coordinating the activity fee, which goes out to nearly 300 student organizations, we also provide a voice for graduate students to the administration. The Ivy Summit, for instance, and the NAGPS, which is a proposed, we're proposing to join that, allow us, in my opinion, we're not in debate anymore, so I can take a position, allow us to do that job more effectively. The NAGPS and the Ivy Summit provide a repository of institutional memory that we can learn from each other, learn from what other graduate students are going through, and learn from what I think provide us an opportunity to learn from, I think, what the most effective processes are. If I may speak very briefly, we've gone through 2 years of charter revisions. A lot of that was reinventing the wheel. I think we spent a lot of valuable time, valuable member time, considering things that organizations like the NAGPS and Ivy Summit allow us to, I think, circumvent by simply looking at what they've done and saving ourselves a two-year-long debate. Again, I'm happy to speak more after, or if anybody else has any thoughts on this issue.
I think that we should definitely consider it. I mean, we spend a lot of money going to the Ivy Summit, and we should be able to justify that. And if that means that some people meet and discuss why we spend $9,000 or $10,000 every few years, then we should have that conversation. If that isn't clear, then I feel like we lose faith to our constituents. So
I'm not arguing against it. I think, the budget, everything's, absolutely fair enough. But it just, if we can have some kind of documentation, if we can go to the summit, or at least once we go to the national conference, showing what we can bring back to the CPSA and how, benefit us and how it might benefit us with that, it just makes those documentations so much stronger for
Sure. Well, perhaps the most straightforward thing we do is right after the delegation returns, at the first meeting thereafter, they offer a report. Chris was there last year, as he said, and I'm sure would be happy to talk to you more about what he learned and brought back. Of course, a lot of that is in the minutes from last year. Again, I'm all in favor of transparency and accountability, of course. Are there any further issues in open forum? Evgeny? Thank you. Book Through the Fall, yes, right. I think Mike Walsh is actually the one to thank for suggesting this. Thank you, Mike Walsh, wherever you are. Yes. That's my fault. The doors are open on the Bailey Hall side, but the doors on the other side are locked. I'll make sure to make that clearer next week. This is our first meeting here. This is only my second time in this building. I didn't know the doors would be locked.
Also, the upstairs
door. Okay. Further comments in open forum, or of course a meeting, a motion to adjourn, moved by Marquis, seconded by Steve. Without any objection, the meeting is adjourned. We'll be here on the 26th in 2 weeks. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.